Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
We're back with more news. This is all we do now. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Apathetic Enthusiasm brought to you by News Stories. News Stories.
And BVD Underwear.
For more about BVD Underwear, be sure to tune into our after show. Where BVD underwear, it's a weird looking shape. Like it looks like it's meant for men with huge dicks, right? But I'm just saying, I'm looking at a picture. It has like, you know, like you have your regular briefs or underwear, right? And it's got a little expansion pack, so to speak, right? But the BVDs pouch. I'm looking at, there's so much extra elastic in that region.
It can handle whatever you throw at it. BVD underwear.
BVD underwear.
Use our promo code AE for 15% off your next purchase.
Well, anyways, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. I am Brandon, of course, and that
I'm Travis.
My friend
Hello.
Travis.
Hi, that's me. Hi.
What do we got today? How do we start this off? Usually we start off with
how do we start a podcast? This is episode 185. We're still learning. Well, the first thing we do is we tell everybody how they can get a hold of us, how they can follow us on the internet. You can do that a number of ways over on Twitter at Apathusiast. He is at Barnyard Crows. He is at Barnyard Crews. I am at Jugglemino. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Send us an email, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And all of our podcasts, all of our stuff over at apatheticenthusiasm.com. We are streaming live right now to your eye holes over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can also catch video versions of this show at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And then we have a Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get bonus content. You can get voiceover acting by Brandon, all sorts of things that you can check out with bonus content over at patreon.com. That is how we start the show. We also have a Discord never talk about. Ooh,
oh, the Discord. Yeah, talk about it while I do this tweet.
So we have a Discord. We used to have it as a Patreon exclusive. Now I think we're just going to open her up to the masses. So if you want to chat with us, we'll tweet out the Discord. We'll send a link or something. I don't know. What's the link to the Discord? I don't think it's easy to say it.
You know, Discord thing is like, there's not a link to the Discord. There's a link to the Discord. Like, you actually have to click it and then people go through it in that way, right? It's not something you just say and you're like, go to
www.discord.travis.brandon.apatheticenthusiasm.
Use your Google Authenticator.
Get your 2FA rocking and rolling. I think it's just Apathetic Enthusiasm. Go search for it or something.
We'll
be better about this in the future. All right. So, Brandon, what the heck's happening? How you doing? How you feeling? You feeling loose? You feeling?
I'm feeling good. I got a little distracted because Twitch, you know, whatever, you know, tweeting Twitch. But you mentioned 2-factor authentication. A second ago, I kind of brought it up first with the Google Authenticator, but then you mentioned 2FA, and I've got a little story for you. I'm excited about this. Over on Reddit at Barnyard Crews, username Barnyard Crews.
Can't miss him.
I was using that to do the moderation for the Rick and Morty subreddit, and Then I got a new phone. I got a brand new phone, right? I'm like, okay, yeah.
That was the worst whistle of my life. My lips are very dry.
And so then I was like, okay, I swapped over my phone. I logged onto Reddit, Barnyard Cruise. There it is. Cool. No problem. And then I went to log in on my computer and it was like, what's your two-factor authentication? I'm like, okay, well, it's easy enough. I'll open up the Google Authenticator app that I've been using. And I didn't know this at the time, but it doesn't save to your Google account. It only saves to that device. So on my old phone where all that stuff got erased, all that stuff was gone. It's gone. Poof. Bing, bang, boom. Poof. Vanished. And so
you're no longer authenticated.
I hit up Reddit first thing. I was like, I was logged in on the app on the phone. I'm like, okay, well, I see everything. I can't go in. There's no option to go on the mobile app to disable your two-factor authentication or get the backup codes or anything like that. So I hit up Reddit and I said, look, I'm still logging on my phone. Clearly, I can give you any information you need. My email address, whatever you need. And they're like, sorry, if you don't have your backup codes, we cannot recover your account. You're just going to have to create a new account, which seems like bullshit because there are ways to recover your stuff without two factors. I mean, they own the account. Like it's on their servers. Anyways. So I made a new Reddit account, Champagne A to Z, referencing The Simpsons, the Planet of the Apes musical. And for some reason, I got a wild hair at my butt. I'm like, you know what? No, I want to see about doing it again. So today, I went on my phone and I changed my email address to Apathetic Enthusiasms. And when it did that,
@gmail.com.
That's right. That's right.
Send us an email.
When it did
Apathetic Enthusiasm Show @gmail.com.
When it did that, it sent a confirmation to our AE email address. I went to my Mac. I did the whole thing. I recovered, changed my email address. And when it did that, it automatically logged into the website on my Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was there, I'm like,
yeah. Hackers. Hack the world, Brandon. Hack the world.
So just letting anybody know, if you're locked out of your Reddit account,
you need to break into someone else's.
Circumvent the system.
There you go.
So I'm happy Barnyard Cruise lives again.
It's good to have him back. It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And for those of you that are still trying to figure out what two-factor authentication is, we'll talk about that in another episode. Speaking of other episodes, that's not really what we're talking about. We have lots of news. Brandon has been so gracious to pull another assortment of stories from the past 2 weeks of things going on. The first one on the list is something that I feel like should be bigger news than maybe it was. And that's the Perseverance Mars rover landing. This happened last week on Thursday, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Thursday the 18th. Mm. And I don't know. I feel like for some reason, the news and the coverage for the SpaceX launch, where it was like the first time they were launching astronauts to the space station, I feel like that almost got more press than the Perseverance lander seemed to get. And I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I felt that I heard people talking about the landing in multiple places, and I didn't actually look at it or look it up except in passing until today, when I saw Mike McMahon, who wrote on Rick and Morty. He had posted something about watching the actual landing, and I was like, oh, you know what? I've heard about it, but maybe I'll actually just watch it. And so that's when I sent you that YouTube video. And it's a pretty short video. It's maybe like 4 or 5 minutes, and they're just coming in for it's landing, and then like there's talking, and they're like mission control, all that type of stuff, and then it lands, and it's like,
yeah,
why didn't I pay them more attention to this? This is amazing.
I know it is really cool because like this video, is like almost like, I don't know, HD. It's close to HD. It's high quality, at least like actual video from the lander that we finally have now. We didn't have this video last Thursday, right? Like last Thursday when it was actually landing, they actually had that 7 minutes of terror or whatever that they talk about, where the ground control at NASA has no idea like what the actual status of the lander is, because it takes so much time for the signal to get back to Earth from Mars that there's like a 7 minute window where the lander has made it to Mars. It's there, but they don't know if it landed successfully or if it crashed and broke into a million pieces. So that was really interesting to see. I saw some good videos about like how that all works and how the lander is like constructed and how it goes from moving like super fast to slowing down to the point where it can just like land without damaging any of the equipment. But yeah, this video that you shared with me has like really much higher quality. Like you could actually see the surface of Mars in pretty good detail. Like, and it's got like multiple cameras that shows the like craft that like lowers it down and everything. It's pretty awesome. I don't know. This is really cool.
It is really, really cool. When it landed and it showed the control room and everyone's cheering, you know, I was like, oh man, I got a little emotion from that, of just being like, well, yeah, that's us. This is our lifetime that we get.
We did it. We did it, Brandon.
Like fairly high definition video from another world. Not just like the Mars lander where like you get like the Nokia video, Nokia flip video, you know, where it's like,
right.
Oh, I think I can see something. So it's badass to me.
It's really cool. I watch occasionally. Have you heard of Mark Rober?
No,
he's that guy that used to work at NASA, and then he gave it up to just make YouTube videos, and he only makes 12 YouTube videos a year, so he releases one every month. But he's a scientist and an engineer that does like science education YouTube videos, but they're usually like funny or they have like some sort of like gimmick to them. He's the guy that made those packages for Porch Pirates that when you opened them, they became like glitter bombs.
There's like dog poop in them.
No, well, there's fart spray in them.
okay.
But yeah, like there were like these glitter bombs that would record people. And then they had like all this other stuff in it. But he went back and like went to NASA to talk to people about this whole process of putting a lander on another planet. And his most recent video talks all about it. And it was just fascinating to me, all of the stuff that has to be done, all of the considerations that have to be made. And one of the things he said was the first human to set foot on Mars is already alive, has already been born. And to me, that was such like a wild thought, like some kid somewhere, I don't know, maybe some teenager or whatever, is going to be the first person to walk on the surface of Mars, and they just got to age up into it, basically.
Yeah, it's a really overwhelming thought.
That
is going to happen in our lifetime. We may be in our deathbeds, but it's gonna happen.
Rosebud, Mars bud, Rose Mars.
I don't know. You pick the if you want Mars at the beginning or the end, it's gonna be in
however
there.
You want to augment that word. Mars is in there. It's gonna be cool.
It is gonna be cool. The next piece of news that I want to bring up is here's how this piece of news started. By the way, Ryan X in the chat saying fuck this Brandon guy, what is Asimov? Yeah, great great author. Anyways, the next thing is I just saw a picture, and the picture is what I sent you initially.
Yes.
And the picture is of Jared Leto as the Joker in a very Jesus-y pose. I mean, not a very Jesus-y pose. He is in a Jesus pose with the crown of thorns and all. Yeah,
let me show it for our stream. Grumpy.
Hey.
What is it? Grumpy Shitzu?
Grumpy Shitzu.
Sorry, I butchered your name, but it went away. Thank you for the follow.
Yeah, thanks.
Your notification was in front of Jesus Jared Leto. Jesus Joker Jared Leto.
That's my buddy Corey Radblack, by the way.
Oh, well, welcome, Corey. These pictures of Jared Leto as the Joker in Justice League, the Snyder Cut. Super creepy. Super, like, real creepy.
It's awful. Thanks, Radblack. Subscribe, tier one. Okay, I mean, Jesus.
Okay, we're making a podcast.
Jesus Leto. It's awful. And so I wanted us to talk about that for a minute. But then it was tied to a Vanity Fair article where it talks about the Snyder Cut. It's all about the history behind how the Snyder Cut came about, Snyder leaving to take care of family issues after his daughter Autumn committed suicide. And then talking about like Joss Whedon coming in and then doing a bunch of reshoots and all that type of stuff. And Travis and I, we're not excited about the Justice League Snyder Cut at all.
No. I mean, and I guess like we haven't hidden it in the history of this podcast in terms of our affinity for Marvel Studios films. We tend to see and keep up with everything happening with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, WandaVision is on fire right now. I think that will be a great post-show topic because there's just so much to get into on there. But in terms of the DC films, like the Batman Begins trilogy, like all that stuff was great. But then we get into like, you know, Man of Steel. You know, like the Snyder films, really, mm-hmm. if we're giving credit where credit is due, they didn't resonate with me the same way. And I don't know. I always felt like the heroes felt too overpowered. They didn't feel as relatable. And like, as much as I love Batman as a character and I love what could have been. I love Wonder Woman. I thought the first Wonder Woman was great, but like a lot of these films, and there's that aspect of like, we have this really interconnected and slow burn MCU universe that like we had all these individual films that eventually led to the first Avengers. So when Justice League came out, it felt a little rushed. It felt like, okay, we'll get a Superman out, we'll get a Batman versus Superman out. Time for Justice League. Let's go. Like let's get right to
get after it. Go. This is what they want to see.
They want to see them all fighting at the same time.
you're absolutely right. We've always expressed our thoughts that it's always felt rushed. That they there wasn't setup for these things. So then Snyder Cut gained steam over the last couple of years, and now this March on HBO Max, the 4-hour Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League is going to be out there.
Hashtag the Snyder Cut.
I've watched those trailers and I'm like, it looks like the same movie. Ooh, I'm excited about it. Even though the tagline is essentially that 75% of the movie is different, that Whedon changed like 70% of the movie or so, right?
Yeah.
And so that doesn't reflect necessarily in the trailers because it's still more or less the same story, but with things that we haven't seen yet. Okay, so this Vanity Fair article, I go in reading. I'm like, you know, I should read the article. And it's talking about, you know, all the things I mentioned before. But what I took from it was, like, the cast really likes this guy. People everywhere are say he's a really, really nice guy. I find out that he's not making any money off of this movie. And so, like, these little bits and pieces, I'm like, maybe I was too much of a dick to the idea of Snyder. And although I'm not excited to watch his cut still, I will go into it with a bit more of an open mind because of it.
And I've liked Zack Snyder films in the past, like, a lot. Like, where I thought 300 was great when it first came out, and I was much younger. I enjoyed his take on Watchmen for what it was. And I'll still go back and watch some of those other Snyder films for DCU or whatever. And I think they're, I don't know. Some of them I've rewatched and I've been like, I like this more now that I know what it was or what it was trying to be. It is hard not to compare them to Marvel. And Marvel is almost formulaic now at times in terms of, like, what they're doing. They're obviously mixing it up and trying new things with Phase 4, but that relatable superhero that is wrestling with having powers or whatever, but is very opposite to the gods that Snyder created. And it talks about it in the article about how he's created these super almost undefeatable characters that are, like, wrestling with humanity and trying to be, you know, part of it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll carve out 4 hours at some point. I got a lot of vacation time coming up, so maybe I'll just pop in the old AirPods and turn on the noise canceling mode and be like, sorry, Dad's busy for the next 4 hours watching Zack Snyder's masterpiece.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm more interested in his zombie movie that he's going to come out with.
It's like a series or some sort of, like, expanded universe type thing for Netflix, right?
Yeah. There's like a prequel, and then there's an animated thing for it. I mean, Dawn of the Dead is one of the good remakes out there. Fast Zombies instead of Slow Zombies, written by James Gunn. It's a solid movie. Directed by Zack Snyder, obviously. I look forward to. I'm interested in the zombie more than I am the Justice League. But regardless. We'll talk about it when it comes out on a special 8-hour podcast.
What one last takeaway before we move on from the story? This story is adding to the mounting evidence that I don't think Joss Whedon's so great as a human being.
This,
you know, watching WandaVision and continually thinking back to Age of Ultron, I'm like, man. Like, what could have been, right? And then
in this is not news that we were going to talk about before, but along the lines of Whedon being a trash, right. some of the folks from Buffy have also come out and said that he I don't think it was Geller. Somebody said, like,
I know Sarah Michelle Gellar said that she's, like, done with Buffy.
Yeah, like, she's like, I appreciate being associated with the character of Buffy, and said nothing of Whedon. So, yeah. You know, whatever.
He's not our focus, but it's a good read, this Vanity Fair article. So if you guys want to check it out, it'll be in the show notes and things like that.
Yeah, it's the same with that. Okay.
Speaking of fantastic human beings.
Look, there are some people in this world, there's only so many names that one person can have, that people can have. My middle name is Thomas. My last name is Cruz. Tom Cruise. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. Cruz, Penelope Cruz. She's great. I like Penelope Cruz. She's very, 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 she's a good actress. Nice person from what I hear. Now, why do I have to share a name with the piece of shit that is Ted Cruz out in Texas? I was talking to somebody at CarMax last night because I'm trying to buy a new car, and she's like, "Oh, are you related to Ted Cruz?" I'm like, nope, not at all. And she's like,
"Not related."
She's like, "Oh no, you're probably pretty handsome though." I'm like, that's weird. Why am I getting hit on by a CarMax chick? But I mean, thanks.
Wait, was she saying that Ted Cruz is handsome?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. Everybody's. But he's when you get that like that fresh tan skin and everything, you know, it's.
Well, she was from Las Vegas, she lives in Las Vegas. She was from South Africa, and then she told me that it's not pronounced zebra; it's pronounced zebra. These are the things I remember from my CarMax transactional telephone call.
This episode brought to you by CarMax. if you need a car and don't want to talk about prices,
let's max it out.
Max it out.
CarMax. Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz. The news. If you haven't heard, Ted Cruz avoided Texas to go to Cancun, take his daughters, quote unquote, because he wanted to drop them off. He realizes now it was a mistake. As Texans were dying from the power outage with the collapse of the infrastructure there. Anyway, a Twitter user managed to organize a mariachi band to go to Ted Cruz's house and play there. And I love it. This is the kind of news that I wake up in the morning for.
That's the kind of thing that's really going above and beyond, right? Is like there's trolling.
Yep.
Oh geez, I can hear myself.
Oh no! Sorry. Hold on one sec. Don't say anything. I love it.
All right. I was playing the video and then I started hearing myself and I was like, oh gosh. Oh, what is that? What is that?
That's my bad.
The beauty of live to tape podcasting, everybody. But phenomenal. Getting a full mariachi band to perform in front of Ted Cruz's house. Did he ever respond to that? Or like did he have any? I mean, I guess the professional thing to do is just like let it go or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like mariachi music, you know?
Oh, man.
Mariachi
brings me back to the the cantinas, the Mexican restaurants of my youth in Southern California, where they would walk up to your table and you'd awkwardly try to avoid eye contact. And then eventually like, yeah, okay, here's some money. Like, good job. I just want to eat these chips and salsa. Come on. Let's get on with it. It's great. It's great music. Fantastic. They're very talented performers.
This independent article also mentions that a separately organized fundraiser for the mariachi band to play outside the center's home has since attracted donations, with proceeds going directly to a Texas Children's Hospital in Mr. Cruz's neighborhood of Houston. You know, that's great.
That's good. I don't want to discuss this and not acknowledge the fact that lots of people are struggling still in Texas. Obviously, not a state that's used to extreme winter weather. So there are lots of people who are still struggling down there. Hopefully, you know, now that most of them have power back, they're still dealing with flooding and water issues
things
like that.
One of the Rick and Morty subreddit mods is down in Texas, Rowdy, and his pipes they all burst because they're old pipes. But the good news is now they have an excuse to modernize their pipes. See, so positive stuff comes out of it.
Did you hear about, okay, and I don't want to spend too much more time on Texas, but did you hear about how their electric system, the way that they do their pricing in Texas, it's like non-regulated. So they can immediately fluctuate the price of electricity like at will. And it's based on demand, right? So there are power companies in Texas that do not bill you for your electricity. You are automatically charged based on how much you use, and the rate you are charged at is based on demand, right? So there are people who never lost power throughout that whole week last week, continued to get power, but because demand was so high and electricity was so scarce, they were getting charged like thousands of dollars a day, and it wasn't going to be like billed to them. It was immediately coming out of their accounts. So there are people who have like $16,000 electricity bills that they had to pay last week. It's insane. It's insane. Anyway,
it is insane. I had heard that. I've heard lots of stuff about Texas power. I had a Facebook exchange with a guy I didn't know on one of my friend's posts, and the guy basically was like, I have actual experience with the power. It's just, you know, too bad your brains are too, your brains don't understand the power, you, like all you guys talking about it. Maybe there's like, I'm like one of two people who understands the power issues in Texas. And so I responded with like, congrats, maybe you can help explain, maybe offer some solutions, or try to, you know, use your expertise to inform us
to make things better,
to make better things better. And then he came back with some like actual insight, and I said, thank you so much. Now maybe I can be one of three people who understands what the problem is now. But then that exchange actually turned fairly civil, and he's like, sorry, I just, you know, people are always attacking, and like, I get it, just, you know, if you say you're an expert and you have experience, then you should help folks understand, rather than call them stupid, essentially.
Which is the best part about us being experts at nothing, is we're completely not helpful.
Welcome to apathetic enthusiasm.
We are not experts. Speaking of not experts, our next story involves a couple of expert podcasters. That's right, it's us.
My nickname is The Boss, and Travis's nickname is Barack.
Yeah, that's what everybody calls me. We are, of course, talking about Bruce and Barack Obama. Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama just came out with a podcast today. Just a surprise drop.
Yeah. Out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this. I was thinking maybe like Melania and Hillary, you know, coming together for a podcast, right? I thought that one I saw coming.
You saw that one happening?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but I will say that. Just save this clip, and then we'll get back to it in a couple of years.
Okay.
But this one, I mean, this one was kind of out of left field. I was sitting in a parking lot, and I heard the news.
Yeah, so this is a Spotify exclusive. It's a new podcast, Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama having a series of conversations. It is called Renegades, Born in the USA, and it is an 8-installment podcast. The first two episodes dropped today. Yeah, they're basically going to talk about a variety of topics. I think the topics are listed in this article. They're not, or at least I'm not. Oh yeah, there we go. Race, fatherhood, marriage, the state of America, all sorts of things. Cool. They're doing a podcast. I will say, for the sake of talking about it, I did turn on the podcast right before we started recording. First thing to note: two pre-roll ads. Okay. So this podcast, which is a Spotify exclusive, has two pre-roll ads. First advertiser, Comcast. So big cable getting involved in the podcasting scene.
That's good.
Second pre-roll ad, Dollar Shave Club. And the pre-roll ad is like talking about the types of razors to buy, how often to change them, where to use what razors, whether you're shaving your head or shaving downstairs. And I'm like, wait, this is the information we're getting before former President Barack Obama comes on to talk about, you know, the state of America. Those are the pre-roll ads on episode number one. The second thing is neither of them read by the hosts. Let's get legit with this podcast. We're going to get down to that independent podcaster mentality. I want to hear our hosts of this podcast reading the ads. I want some MeUndies ads read by Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to tell me about Warby Parker glasses. I want them to, you know, Sherry's Berries. Let's make this happen.
And you know what I would like to see in more pre-roll ads is like special guest pre-roll ad readers. I'm getting away from it, but like what if like Spencer Crittenden was a guest star on the pre-roll ad read for Obama and the Bosses podcast?
That would be phenomenal. That'd be fantastic.
Why don't we take that idea and let's run with it. I guess we need sponsors first, but you know, we'll start with that. Like the idea of, hey, we got this great idea. We will pull other people on as guest stars for our ad reads, and they won't be on that podcast by and large, only for that 30 seconds.
Just for the ads.
What do you think?
We also really need to get advertisers to make this happen. But two things, it's a flawless idea. It's flawless. Yeah, it could work. It could work. Are you subscribed to Renegades? Are you ready to binge listen?
No, because when I think of Renegade, I think of the Styx song. The jig is up. You finally found me.
That's enough. We don't have the rights. We don't want to get Metallica on here.
That's news. We don't have that listed, but we should.
That'll be in bonuses. All right. So yeah, if you want to check out, you know, our good friend Barack's old podcast, you know, you can go check it out on Spotify. Not available on Apple Music. Sorry, Apple.
It's Barack and Springsteen's semi-decent podcast.
Yeah, semi-pertinent news. All right, moving on. Talking about exclusivity, right? And being a sign of the times. Disney has now included the original Muppet Show over on Disney Plus, so you can now stream the first like 5-6 seasons, whatever it is, of the original variety show, The Muppet Show. But I was excited about this. Some of my kids were excited about this. We love the Muppets in this house, and I have some of the original series on DVD. But I was like, oh, this is awesome. We can stream a bunch of them, and within the first couple episodes, we started watching it over the weekend. We saw what is now becoming a relatively familiar screen on Disney Plus, and it is this disclaimer screen, right? It is basically a blue screen, a lot of text on it that talks about how Disney is acknowledging the fact that some of these older shows are not as culturally sensitive, not as woke as people are today. And instead of removing all of that content from the original material, they are committing to doing better, raising awareness. They give a website where you can go and see all of the things that they're doing to try and improve stuff. But really, this is Disney's way of sort of covering the fact that some of these old shows are pretty problematic, like racially and culturally.
Is that I haven't gone back and watched any of the Muppet Show from the beginning. I want to, and honestly, I forgot that it was back. But I started watching clips earlier today after I saw some of this news. Parker Malloy, she is on Twitter. I saw some conversation from Fox News talking about liberals are now canceling The Muppet Show. And a lot of people responding, The Muppet Show ended in 82. So if it's getting canceled,
ABC canceled The Muppet Show or whatever network they were on.
Yeah, it lost many, many years ago. Talking about canceling it, let's bring it back all of the seasons, with the exception of maybe like one episode, and put a disclaimer on the front, cancel it, right? But in any way, I'd heard that it's problematic, a lot of old media ends up being cartoons, like whenever Daffy's face gets exploded, right? You know, that right. type of stuff. So yeah. I mean, what do you think about that? Like Song of the South, right? We already know that Splash Mountain is going to turn into Princess and the Frog, right?
Princess and the Frog. Yep. Yeah. I mean, so on the one hand, like, I think it's good that Disney is acknowledging that back when these pieces of material were made, they were not as culturally sensitive. They were not as cognizant. And frankly, there were a lot of straight up racist people making stuff back then. And it was almost like just accepted that you could make fun of somebody's race in a cartoon. And it is interesting to go back and watch a lot of that stuff with my kids. And we will go back and watch, you know, classic Disney films. And, you know, you look at Dumbo, you look at Peter Pan, and you rewatch some of the stuff. You're like, I can't believe this was in this movie. I start to wrestle with what is the right thing to do. Is it to remove that? Is it to cancel culture it out and get rid of those movies because they've made mistakes? Or is it to do what Disney is doing and acknowledge that this wasn't the right thing to do and still show it? Or, you know, like, what's, I don't know. Do they just cut out those parts? Do they rewrite those parts? Obviously, you talk about Song of the South. That movie is very limited. You cannot find it almost anywhere. The only copies of it are being sold around, like, on, you know, like, yeah, ripped copies or something. Like, it's, Disney has not officially released that movie in decades.
Decades.
So, yeah, it's... But they still have a theme park attraction that is themed after the film. So yeah, it's problematic. It's not good. Some of the things that I think they're acknowledging aren't necessarily going to be like even super like stand out to people, but I think it's good that they're like acknowledging that stuff needs to be fixed. I know that there's at least 8 episodes of The Muppet Show that they straight cut that they don't have on Disney Plus. A lot of that's not for like racial or any kind of like stuff. It's a lot of it's for like music rights. Cause they did a lot of,
I read about a Brooke Shields episode that had to be taken down. There's another one that, there was this actor back in the day who was on an episode, and then it later turns out he had so much kiddie porn that made jurors cry because of how bad that person was. And so that episode, needless to say, is not It's not on the air, right? So, I think I don't know. I'm not the person to say whether or not I should be offended or if it, you know, what it should do. I imagine that Disney isn't just one person making a decision and be like, I think, you know what, I'm just going to put a disclaimer up and we're good. It had to have
just throw a hyperlink on it and everybody will be happy.
It had to have been about through committee, and I'm sure there were meetings and sensing sessions, that type of thing to go into the decision. But anyways, I want to watch more Muppet Show because I love it.
Here's my pitch, right? Bring back the Muppet Show. None of this. Let's do an office spoof Muppets in early 2000s type thing. Bring back the variety show, the Muppet Show. Modernize it as you need to, right? Current guests, current sketches. The Muppets are hot. You know, like that, the Muppets movie. Well, I mean, they're not like hot, like hot, right? They're much more popular than, I mean, they go through waves, but I think if you could really capture, like, I think what made that Muppets movie with what's his name, Jason
Siegel,
yeah, one of the things I loved most about that movie was the third act that is essentially the Muppet Show redone for the big screen. I feel like if you could recapture that, I think people would watch it. I think it would be terrific. I think there's an audience for it. So yeah. Disney, bring me in as a consultant. Let's make this happen.
Instead of trying to redo the formula or change the formula up, you know, don't try to modernize it with the Muppets Office, right? Just make the Muppets Show. Don't do Muppets Tonight. I don't even want any new characters. Don't give me new characters. Just do the fucking Muppets.
Just make the same show. I think it would be great.
Oh, have a good day, faces in the chat. Welcome. Work must be over. Speaking of work being over, has nothing to do with that. Work is just beginning for some theaters in New York City because it was just announced that certain movie theaters in New York City are going to reopen up only at 25% capacity. But this is, you know, for all those folks diamond handing the AMC shares, this is good news for them.
That's right. To the moon, to Mars with them AMC stonks. I think this is good. I'm hoping that this is a sign that things are improving in New York, that, I don't know, maybe we're getting back to some sense of normalcy where things are safe enough where you can reopen theaters. I will say that the movie theater that's a few miles away from my house has been open for the whole time. I think it shut down for a few months. But it's a local theater. They're struggling big time, but they are continually trying to find ways to stay in business. And they're having to limit the number of people that can come into a theater. They're doing a lot of renting out a theater for private showings where you can invite up to the CDC recommended limit of people gathering in one place and have a private showing. Mm-hmm. So that you can try to control the number of people that are in there and things like that. And then you watch whatever movies available that you can get up there and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think it's good that theaters are reopening. I have not been to a movie theater in nearly a year. Probably we're hitting right on over a year almost at this point.
Yeah.
And that's upset.
I don't even remember the last movie I saw in the theaters. I don't even know at this point.
I mean, I don't know either, and I don't know that I'd be proud to say what it was, because it was probably like some animated kids movie or something that I went with my family. I remember seeing Frozen 2 in the theaters, but that was like Thanksgiving of 19.
Yeah. So
it's been a minute.
It had to have been a long time ago. Yeah, the AMC near my house used to be a GDX theater. They've been doing the private showings, collection of showings for like older movies, some new movies inside. By the way, sorry, Sarah Dark mentioning Janice from Electric Mayhem. We're talking about Hot Muppets. I mean, if you
want to be involved in the chat part of the show, you gotta be here Monday nights 9 p.m. Eastern over on Twitch, so you can discuss the hottest of Hot Muppets.
Yeah,
to include Camilla the Chicken, Janice from Electric Mayhem.
Yeah,
Miss Piggy.
Janice is it. She is the it girl of the Muppet universe.
Okay. There's a lot of random generic Muppets too, by the way.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially in those early years where you're just like, that's just a random puppet, but yep. Cool. Great job.
I look forward to movies opening up, right? The Tom and Jerry movie. I got to see that in the theaters. Godzilla versus King Kong opening next month. That is a movie.
I like that you're only listing movies that are also simultaneously available on HBO Max.
Well, no, like part of this article that I'm referencing, they talk about Tom and Jerry opening up at the end of the month. Like it specifically references Tom and Jerry. But you're right. I mean, it does is on HBO Max as well. I mentioned this somewhere before. Like we watched Kong Skull Island, and then we watched Godzilla King of the Monsters. And Chelsea's like, we need a bigger TV, or we need to see this in the theaters. I'm like, for Godzilla versus King Kong, like, yeah, not gonna happen. But it would be really, really nice.
Yeah, that's why I like having the projector. But my projector is not like HD, like it's not like HD quality. It's just like maybe 720, or maybe it's just I don't know. It's not quite at the level where I'm like, yes, I can make the image bigger. I can't make it as good as, you know, the theatrical experience. As much as I try.
You can't do it. You can't. I mean, you try, but you just can't do it.
I'm excited for the time when I can safely give my money back to theaters and see lots of movies out on the big screen, the ones that I'm not streaming on a regular basis.
Yes. Here's last little bit of news. I think this will be it.
Yeah.
But Travis, you and I, we've known each other a little over 12, 15 years.
Close to 14, 15.
Well, jeez. We haven't known each other. Yeah, we are really old. I am not ready to walk away from you in the middle of a desert.
Oh, that's good.
Not until we've been together as long as Daft Punk has been together. Since 1993. Around the world. Since 1993, these two gentlemen have been together making music. Homework was I listened the hell out of that album when I was a kid. And as years went on, I didn't listen to Daft Punk as much. I knew they scored Tron and all that type of stuff. And then today we get the fateful news with them releasing a video called Epilogue. Which is scored from one of their songs on Random Access Memory. And it's basically them breaking up.
Saying goodbye. Breaking up. Also in the chat, someone saying they want to think of it more as like a retirement. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to go out and like do solo albums. I don't know that. But the robotic duo that is Daft Punk is no more. They are done. I don't know. I I like me a little bit of electronic music from a time to time. Yeah. Nothing too crazy. Sprinkle in a little Pharrell Williams. Now we're cooking.
Right.
You know. So yeah,
you get the Chemical Brothers in there. You some block rock and beats, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, this was especially for diehard Daft Punk fans, this news. I saw a lot on social media about folks that were
people upset.
I for one decided to play Daft Punk music in the kitchen while making dinner with my wife, and she continually looked at me like, why are you playing this music? To which I responded with just sick dance moves and no explanation. And then eventually said, oh, Daft Punk like split up today, so you know, I just playing the music.
Yeah, Chelsea said this about the breakup, because I Apple played Epilogue onto our family television in the living room, and we're watching it, and she's like, so they broke up. What happened? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why? I'm like, I mean,
because one of them blew up. Did you not watch the video?
Well, we hadn't got to that point. I was like, I don't know. She's like, well, when was the last thing that they came out with? I was like, I think it was like 2013, 2014.
It's been a minute.
And she's like, so they did they make enough money? Like they've been gone that long. Why does anybody notice or care that they're now retiring? It's like
which yeah, is
good point.
Which is exactly how Brandon and I are going to end this podcast, is we will one day just stop recording episodes and then 7 years later make an announcement that we are no longer creating a podcast. One of us will blow up.
I'll just start slowing down as we're walking down the street.
And then I'll flip the switch in your back, and the rest will be history.
What gets me about that Epilogue video, right, is it's very art house 70s style filming of, sure, of a video, and it's, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, let's go ahead and analyze this mini movie using film tech film criticism, like, well, you see, one of them starts slowing down and the other one is still pushing forward. What this seems to indicate is that one wasn't as driven to keep making music, and with that distance increasing between them, it just made him realize, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's when he stopped. And he took the Daft Punk jacket off.
But it's important in this moment to realize that the one that's gone ahead is not neglectful of his partner, right? He turns around and comes back, and they acknowledge together the fact that they are no longer moving at the same pace, and that it's time for one of them to explode.
But he can't explode on his own. He needs the approval, the explicit approval of his partner of all these 28 years to help him be free of the band. And therefore, he turns around, takes his jacket off, and reveals the it's not a self-destruct switch, but the destruct switch. He needs his approval.
It looks a lot like a trap from Ghostbusters, by the way. I'm picking up strong vibes.
It does. And then the scene, the landscape scene, the one guy who's leaving, walking across the desert, increasing that distance to where they're on completely opposite sides of the screen, and an explosion. Like in five different versions of the explosion, mind you.
We get all the different cuts.
Yeah.
I realized as we described this in detail, I could have brought the actual video up for the people watching along. But if you haven't seen it in its entirety, it's up on YouTube. You just search Daft Punk Epilogue and you will see the Ghostbuster trap that I'm alluding to in there. But so go check it out. It's pretty cool. But congratulations to Daft Punk on, you know, 2.5 decades of music, or 2 decades and then like 7 years of hanging out. But either way, like, I don't know, they had a huge impact on music in general, and congrats to them on whatever they do as themselves in the future. One of the first things I saw after the announcement was somebody posting their actual faces on Reddit. So leave it to the internet to destroy all mystery. Great stuff. All right, cool. Anything else, Brandon? Anything else you want to chit chat about, or should we save it all for the post show?
I think at this point in time we save it all.
Shave it all. Dollar Shave Club. If you don't know how to shave or how often to change your razor, talk to Bruce Springsteen
and Barack Obama. That is all I have for tonight's episode. I want to say thank you to everybody in the Twitch chat, everybody who listens to us on the daily. I mean, everyone daily, obviously
not daily. The daily by the New York Times.
No,
Barbaro.
We are guests on the daily, but make sure you keep listening to this podcast for that announcement of when that actually happens.
Yeah, stay tuned. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. If you are new to this show and you are listening to the audio version, you can definitely subscribe, leave a review, however your podcatcher of choice allows you to do that, to interact. We appreciate that so much. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. You can hit a like button if you enjoyed it. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about the stories that we covered. And if you are watching on Twitch, do not go anywhere. We will be right back with our post show that is just for you. We will talk any more about, you know, the things that we were discussing earlier. We will have a WandaVision recap to discuss, as well as anything else that pours out of Brandon's head. Thank you everybody for listening, and until next time, I'm Travis
and I am Brandon. Thank you so much for listening. Did you know that but I'm not going yet. I was driving downtown, and
I was close to hitting the stop record button. I was this close.
And there was a fire truck, right? And it was doing a siren, right? And it was like, wah, wah. But then it did like a and I was like, when is it going to end? It never did. It faded into the distance. Anyways, I'm Brandon.
I'm Travis.
Bye.
Later.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.